Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
And we are here at talkradio.com. I want to remind you of the call-in number. It's 323-203-0815, and that is the number you call to get in the hot seat. But I want to remind everybody, if you call and you get into our queue, understand that our wonderful Ronan at the switchboard will be calling you back, and we don't want to talk to your voicemail. We want to talk to you. So if you don't recognize the number, pick up the call. It's likely that it's us. I want to thank you for bringing us to be with you each and every Thursday live. And I want to thank LA Talk Radio for broadcasting us on other times on other stations during the week. If you want to hear any of our shows or you've missed any, you can find our archives at the LA Talk Radio website under Dr. Pat Allen Communication. Dr. Allen, you are live on the air. How are you?
Good. I'm fine. I had my vaccination today.
Did you? How did that go?
How's it what? It went just fine. I want you to know that I saw a gigantic organization doing an effective economical job with human beings that are trying to survive this pandemic. I was impressed.
Wow. And you're in Orange County, California?
Yes, but it was in Chula Vista that I went. My darling daughter found a place that was ripe and ready for me at 86.
Oh, very good. Now, did you get the vaccination that you have to have two? It's a two-part thing?
Yes, it's Moderna.
That's Moderna, right. So you got
the only one that it's the only one that does two, I believe.
Yeah, I know it's a two-part system. So then would they say 21 days is your next dose?
Yeah, well, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I guess that if you can't get to it, I see the advertisement that you can, you know, delay it. But I know there are people in our audience that are not believing that this is the right thing to do. But my instincts tell me when I see loving people volunteering to help other people do better, yes, my left arm feels like I had a shot today.
Yeah.
I feel like, well, if it works, I may have saved my life, of what's left of it anyway. And I loved the way I was treated.
Well, that's pretty amazing. I'm glad to hear that they treated you well. And,
God, yes. You know,
I encourage everybody to do their research to find out what's going on, and if they decide to take the vaccine, to find a place that treats them the way that you were treated. That's pretty encouraging.
Good. Well, there.
There we go. That's pretty awesome. So
I just wanted to paid me to say that.
That's right. That is right. Speaking of which, we are a 501c3 not-for-profit corporation. And
right.
If you want to reach out to Susan Wagner, our chief financial officer, about donating to the One Institute, which is completely tax deductible. You can do so by emailing info@drpatallen.com. Those donations keep us operating. They keep us on the air, being faithful to Dr. Allen, spreading the word and answering your questions and interacting with you. We have a lot of fun and we hope you do too. So Dr. Allen, we have a heavy, heavy load of people talking about...
Let's see what we can do.
We have some of our Facebook people and they're feeling a little like they've been overlooked. So I would like you to reach out, speak out right now and just say hey to all your Facebook fans, which you have a large following on Facebook. They've got some questions for you tonight.
So, I'm here to serve you. I love it.
Okay. One of our first questions is from a gentleman who is in a 22-year. He says we couldn't get married in the beginning because they didn't allow gay marriage in that time period, but we've been together 22 years.
God bless them.
Right. Since we were both 20 years old. Okay. So that's going to put them around 42, 43 years old now.
Right.
Okay. And he is saying after all these years, even though I don't know that we're both going into andropause, I kind of feel like I am, and I feel like less tolerant of things. I'm wondering, is it my biological person that this is happening to? Is it a result of the pandemic and being in constant togetherness with my significant other since both of us have been self-quarantining? Now, I see what he's saying, Dr. Allen, and you talk about it really deeply about too much together really ruins intimacy. Can we talk about that?
Yes. What it is oxytocin resides in the human body and is stimulated by chemistry, not by money or arrangement. Chemistry. I am a nerd. My most favorite magazine is Science, which is 175 years old. I would do anything to back up premises. Now, everybody goes into menopause and andropause. Mm-hmm. The only problem is that men are built for the short haul at the beginning of a relationship. and the feminine aspect of a gay relationship goes into not menopause, but a version of andropause suitable for that person's cherished ability. I want you to understand that chemistry is what is created in life. And when men, people with penises, when men get into their 50, 48, 9, 10, when they get into that age bracket, the testosterone in their body, which may be a lot or a little or whatever, is going to go down. And the estrogen that's been there since the 8 days that you were a girl in your mother's womb, it's been there and it starts to impact you so that you are going to go through midlife crisis. I have a CD that I made called The Over 50 Relationship. Now, it's a straight couple. But a straight couple, a lesbian couple, a gay couple are all male and female. Androgynous semantic realignment, that's what I do. The person who wants respect more than cherishing finds a person who wants cherishing more than respect, because that's their temperament. Read Myers and Briggs. Please understand me. Temperaments are created in utero and are there for every minute of your life. So when you fall into spiritual soulmates, men, people with penises, have masculine souls called the the anima, which causes him to need a person, a man, who wants respect. If he's given respect, he will give cherishing. It's the waltz of love. I love what I've been thinking about soulmates. Women have masculine souls called the animus. Any culture based on Latin is going to speak androgynously. I think, how do you feel? What can I do to help us feel better? I don't feel very good about this. What do you think about doing it this other way? And what can I do to help you and I do it?
Amazing. Hey, doctor. Yeah.
What?
We have a live caller. Do you want to take a live call and we'll come back to this?
Sure.
All right. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hello.
Hi. Are you waiting for me?
Yes, we are.
I'm not ready for anything but life.
No, great. It's hard to tell when my time has come up, but thank you. Thank you, Pat. I know I've called the last couple of weeks and you gave me some
ideas about
that.
You are becoming my star gay guest.
My what? What did you say?
Star gay guest.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm if you said gay, I'm not gay, but I am looking
not gay? You talk
I am not
gayness.
No,
what?
No, I am meeting women, and have definitely met more women the last couple of weeks from the thing that I found, and I was looking at another thing that I could go to this weekend as well. So
I think
that's
wonderful, and I don't know how I will mind read anybody else, but because you were so supportive of the gay community, I thought you were the one of them.
Well, both, I will say, both of my parents are bisexual, so that's probably part of the story, but I have only dated women.
Okay, then you're bisexual. Good.
Yes, that's definitely my parents'
okay.
story.
What can I answer for you?
Well, a couple of things. I did want to ask you about stoicism, because I know that's very big, and I haven't heard you talk about that as much as I would like. But the question I had before that was, how to deal with women if they want to reach out to you
first. I am totally tempted to tell you that Marcus Aurelius is my favorite Stoic. He was taught by Epictetus. Of Marcus Aurelius, who was an Italian emperor and warrior, which is so spiritually wonderful that I had to interject it so that somebody could get to that Stoic principle. Now, what is the rest of the question?
Yeah, and I have a copy of Marcus Aurelius here, and I read it every day in the morning before my meditation, and it's very good. Wanted to talk about the Stoicism part, I was reading something.
You brought up Stoicism, and I interjected the book for people. I love books.
Yes. mine first is, if a woman contacts you first, I think that means she's being masculine. Isn't that right?
I have no problem with women being masculine, nor do I have a problem with men being feminine, as long as they recognize it and speak from the point of view of, am I female now or am I male? Right now, I'm in my male. I'm in my head. I'm intellectual. I'm not particularly romantic when I'm in my my head, but I don't want to be romantic right now. I want to be intellectual. So I'm going to, like I just did, I interrupted and interjected something intellectual and exhibited my love of books again by talking about Marcus Aurelius, because I heard you starting a sentence going away from Stoicism, which I'm interested in, but I got my two cents in.
That's great. I definitely appreciate that. But I'm wondering, the women I've been talking to lately have been very smart. I wouldn't say, but more intellectual women as opposed to anything else. And they have expressed some interest in talking, like making the first move. One reached out to me yesterday. I was going to wait and call her today or a couple of days later. And I'm wondering what you think could be the way to deal with that. Do I do I ask for them to let me take the initiative?
You can't let them take the initiative. They'll take it. They're good men. I want you to know that women that are masculine are just as assertive as a man who's masculine. And a man who's feminine is just as feminine and creative. Don't forget, feminine energy in a man is creativity. Masculinity is productivity. And women that are productive think of ways to get the man they want for a wife. Wife.
I think the one that I was in contact with yesterday, I think from what she's already told me, she hasn't done a lot of dating. And we have had some nice exchanges. There's definitely some common ground, but I think that's part of the reason that she reached out, because she's putting herself out there in a new way. And with the online stuff, so am I. But I've definitely had my dating experience, and, you know, an ex that I broke up with last year. So I think she's coming to a different place, but we're both still getting to know each other from a distance, but I'm liking what I'm hearing so far.
I think that's wonderful. Do you have chemistry for her?
Okay, so as far as chemistry goes, I think you've talked about this. I don't think you really know until you're in person with somebody, and that's going to be a while.
I've got news for you. When you're within 30 inches of a human being in a church, in a movie, in wherever, when you're within 30 inches and you can pick up the pheromones, those are the chemistries exuded by the body, that if they're a little like your mom and a little not like your mom and have diversification, it lends itself to chemical attraction. If the chemistry and the pheromones of the woman that you're sitting or standing next to is too much like your mom, it's verboten, taboo. If it's too much not like your mom, it's an alien. Every single body exudes pheromones, and it's the pheromones that attract you into the chemical attraction of sexuality. But that's where churches come in. That's where therapists come in, because we help you waltz. Remember, two men cannot produce a romantic relationship unless they make an agreement to waltz. When one is feminine, the other one has to be masculine, unless they're doing a business deal. If he or she is feminine and the other person is masculine, there's the possibility that the divergence, that the person being different, is going to be attractive. So when you study sexuality from a scientific point of view, and I do, morals and ethics don't impact. I'm not a moralist. I'm a therapist who helps people do what they want to do in a moral, ethical, legal way. The only people I have to turn into the police are child molesters, elder molesters, and disabled people molesters. What you do, the government is not interested in until you break the law of morality, not morality religiously, physical, you have to call the police. Sir, do you want to take your anti-narcissistic pledge for dealing with women that want to be women?
Yes, I want to be in the masculine role.
All right, get your hand up.
Okay.
I promise to give, protect, and cherish.
To give, protect, and cherish
the woman I'm chemically attracted to.
The woman that I am chemically attracted to.
Even when she's illogical.
Even when she's illogical.
Irrational.
Irrational.
And downright irritating.
And downright irritating.
Unless I have to call the police.
Unless I have to call the police.
A medical doctor.
A doctor.
No, a medical. I'm a doctor, but I'm not a medical doctor. But I'm dealing
with
physical. Or a lawyer to sue her.
Or a lawyer to sue her.
You want to hear the one that women have to say?
Yes, I think that would be great.
Okay. Kelly, are you there?
I am.
Can you put your hand up representing women, please?
Yes, of course.
I promise. On my honor.
On my honor.
To respect the man I'm chemically attracted to.
To respect the man I'm chemically attracted to.
Even when I think I'm smarter.
Even when I think I'm smarter.
And can do it better.
And could do it better.
Unless I have to call the police.
Unless I have to call the police.
The doctor to him and join me too.
To sue him and join me too.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Everybody's androgynous. My doctoral work is androgynous semantic syntactical realignment. I take the quantum mechanics of words and manipulate the quantum physics of energy, yin and yang energy. I'm a transactional analyst. I'm impacted by Sigmund Freud. I'm impacted by Carl Jung. But I'm a creative human female whose father wanted a boy, and I managed to almost get there, because that's what my left lobe did. But I have managed to get married and have four daughters who are giving me 5 grandsons, 3 great grand. I'm telling you, it really works. So, have you got my message, sir?
I certainly have, Pat. May I ask another question related to the chemistry?
I want to correct your languaging. I want to ask you another question. May I? Always put politeness at the end of a sentence for potency. Please. I'm a transactional analyst.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. So my question is, with chemistry, you look at a picture, you see something, maybe it looks great, maybe it doesn't. But, and I know you talked about the pheromones being in person, that's how you really know. But based on pictures only, which is where I am with these ladies,
I'm not
overwhelmed.
Pictures remind you of a human being. Inevitably, that picture reminds you of somebody, a woman or a man, that triggered your chemistry. Do you understand? Men pick their loves with their eyes. Women pick their loves with their ears.
Yes. Yes, I remember that from your teaching. So with those that I'm talking to now, I am not overwhelmed by what I'm seeing in the pictures, but I do like the communication that we've had so far, and who knows what those pictures are compared to what
they
look
like
right now.
You're in effect using your left lobe for thinking and evaluating and your right lobe for feelings. Do you realize how healthy that is?
Well, that's good to hear.
That means that you're living androgynously in your body, and you hopefully will allow the woman you're with or the man you're with to do the same thing. Straights, gays, and lesbians are all dualities of androgynous energy. That's my major premise.
Yes, that we're all androgynous.
Every living being. But some people only work out of their left lobe, and some people only work out of their right lobe. So they never really flex. They don't waltz. They disco. They disco, but they don't waltz.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's certainly good to hear.
Good.
So I plan to get to know them more and go to some more of these things. There's another one with a different company that's coming up this weekend. So I may give that a shot and look forward to
it. Are these Zoom dating groups?
Essentially, yes. The one that I told you about last week, the fun.singles, is not Zoom, but it's very similar to Zoom. And then the other thing that
I found, it's called Fit. Fit.com. That's an exercising one.
Wow, interesting. But there's ways to meet people that way too?
Yes, dear. It's a Zoom program. It was told to me.
Okay. Well, I will certainly check that.
I consider it ways to overcome the limitation in physical dating. Do you know it's very interesting? This keeping a distance is subtly supporting my therapy. What I teach people to do, I teach them how to get around the limitations of the disease. The best way to start a love affair is with a deep friendship. And the deep friendship is where you study the masculine and the feminine, the sexual as well as the intellectual part of the other human being. Most of your friends.
Well, that sounds good. It's wonderful to hear you, and I definitely miss being in person, but this is great being able to not only talk to you, but hear you work with other people and get a great refresher on things.
I have been
thank you so much, caller.
50 years, and I'm going to keep it up.
Yeah, we've got some more callers. Thank you so much for calling. We hope you'll update us on what's going on with your choices and how things are going with you.
Yes, thank you. I will.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Okay, so Ronan at the switchboard tells me that we have got some more callers. He's going to get us one right now. And until then, I want to remind everybody, newsletter, www.drpatallen.com. That's where you go to sign up for it. And make sure you watch your email for an email
please
from
leave a short
us.
Message, and I will return your call.
Okay, so you can do that. If you don't answer our email by opting in, you won't get the newsletter. So make sure you respond to that email. It's how it works, so that we don't get accused of being spammers, and we don't sell our email list. We never sell our email list. So you won't have to worry about being inundated with things like that, because our email list is private and we don't share it. Okay, so we're waiting for another call now because we got a voicemail instead of a person. So hopefully we're going to get a person this time instead of a voicemail. Dr. Allen was talking earlier about her over 50 script. And so, or her over 50s program, and you can find that over 50s program at www.wantistore.com. You'll not only find the over 50 dating there, but you'll find Dr. Allen's new book or latest book. It's A Man's World and a Woman's Universe. And you'll find Conversational Rape. And a lot of the other things that Dr. Allen has output right there at your convenience at oneeyestore.com. So Switchboard is working on getting us another caller here. And it's taking a minute. Don't know what's going on. But he's working on it. So, and he's the best. He's always getting us the best calls and getting us hooked up so nicely. Hello, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Good evening, Dr. Allen.
Good evening.
I have called before to talk about my ex-boyfriend. And
ex-boyfriend?
I am actually, yes, ex-boyfriend.
Who left?
He left. And
why?
Lots of issues. The communication was not really effective, and he would usually get reactive and react to whatever that would happen. A simple conflict could result into a big fight, and he would not. He was
narcissism. Did he want respect and cherishing equally? And you had to be a zero?
Yes.
Well, that's a personality disorder.
So the last time, and we had a lot of on and off in this relationship. The last time was in April. We got together. I actually cooked a nice meal, and it was in the middle of the pandemic. And we actually had intercourse. And after that intercourse, there was a fight because he actually didn't come. So on my birthday, he sent me a message saying that he
was
knew it's my birthday.
Intercourse committed? Were you committed to each other, or was it just free sex?
It was free sex.
Darling,
but it was
sex. Is what animals do. Making love is what committed humans do.
I agree. And on my birthday, which he knew it's my birthday because he said happy birthday first, but he sent me a text message saying that sleeping with me the other day, he realized he doesn't desire me anymore.
Do you know the reason?
No.
Because he picked your cherry. You know what that means?
No.
Men, masculinity has to fall in love. Femininity is in love with itself. Women are in love with themselves and they say no to that which is not loving. Men who are attracted try to have sex intercourse as fast as possible, pick your cherry, because they want to ejaculate in your body, not a towel.
I understand that. And I did not respond. He followed again a month later. I did not respond. And then there was 6 months of silence. And in November, he messaged me again the day that President Biden won, saying that, Biden won and it's a good day. And, you know, a very simple message. And I responded to that. And then I called your program and you suggested that I, try to follow up with, from that communication. So on New Year's Eve, I actually messaged him and I said, Happy New Year. So the communication got back into a little bit of a routine and we met. But it wasn't a date. We actually ended up changing his car speaker and nothing happened.
Were you still having sex with him on each date?
No.
Did you negotiate monogamy, continuity, and longevity goals?
So when I wanted to negotiate that, he got angry and reactive and he said that I am delusional. And he's not interested. And
that means you got turned down.
Yes.
So
and he
what is your problem,
me.
Dear? What is it you're calling me for?
I just saw him.
Perfectly bad relationship.
Yes. I just saw him with another woman. And
what is that for you? I want to recommend a book, Dangerous Passions by David Buss, which means you're not in love if you're not territorially jealous. It's the only book I've ever read that spoke of jealousy as a good thing in a relationship because it's territorial and people therefore negotiate monogamy sexually and socially, which helps them stay together. Human beings are not created to be monogamous. They are polygamous animals. The Bible has it. Everything has it. Therefore, mankind has marriage is not for men. It's for men to have a woman and family. So what I do is I help people negotiate good agreements about long-term goals, mating or marriage. But it's based on monogamy, continuity, and compatible for long-term.
I understand
so I
that.
Just hear a rotten relationship.
And what I need help right now is that logically, I know that this was not a suitable match for me and he was not
very
the man.
Good.
Emotionally.
How long did you date him?
About 4 months. And then there was
Don't be surprised if it takes you a couple of what?
So it was a full year right now when we broke up and then he would approach me and then he would, it was a stop start. Like he would come, approach me, and then he would back off. He would say something to hurt me.
I understand that.
And the last one was...
What he was doing for a woman is called clit teasing, clitoris, which is our version of the penis. Men accuse us of prick teasing, which refers to the penis. So I want you to know, dear, were your mother and father happily married?
Yes.
Okay. Is your mother masculine or feminine?
Feminine. My father was masculine, but my ex was not brought up in a good family. He was brought up in a family that has always been fight from a single
but
mom.
But your body liked him anyway.
Yes.
Your body, you got bonded in your premature sex. You had intercourse, which glued you together.
But the intercourse was 8 months ago, and I already was in another relationship during the summer.
I've got news for you. Your body said, I want my penis back. You're still in love. When you saw him with that other woman, you gushed oxytocin and felt the agony of jealousy. And now we're talking about your dead marriage physically.
So what is the solution? Because logically, this
starts
is...
dating again. Be disloyal to your marriage. Do what every woman does when she catches her husband. Not every woman, that's wrong. When a man betrays a woman, it's not unlike her to tempting go with another man. And when a man, men are exceedingly jealous. But women are men too, so they experience it. You are suffering from the grief of loss. You've lost your husband spiritually when he was just your lover and not a good contract. Don't have casual sex. It bonds you.
I get that. But I am also angry the way he responded to all of that. And I still do not understand trying to open a communication.
Did you people have good sex?
Before?
Yes.
Sometimes, not all the time.
Honey,
and that
did
was...
you have it once?
Yes. Yes.
Then you bonded.
I mean, again, so I have signed up for dating websites, actually, because
good.
The fight that we had was this past weekend, and then I saw him today with another woman.
I fully understand that, and you're still physically married to him, so please start dating other men. Be disloyal to your non-husband until you get a good husband. And would you please either don't do as I say or do as I say?
I do. I will, definitely.
Well,
and
good, because I can tell you that what I teach fits the laws of science, and that's pretty heavy.
Yes, yes, I agree, and I have seen
have
the results.
Have you read Getting to I Do?
I do, yes, I did. Yes.
Have you read Staying Married and Loving It?
No.
Because you're married, spiritually married.
But he has divorced me, but I haven't yet.
No, dear.
You know.
He's gotten a mistress because he's probably doing the same thing with her.
Okay.
In my book, Man's World, Woman's Universe, I believe men are in charge of things, but women are in charge of oxygen. Now, things are nice for money and all that, but oxygen is what you use to breathe and to speak. So I want you to make good, virtuous contracts with the man about intercourse.
Okay. I will.
If he's over 50, he will bond to you. That's how men go with young women and lose their families.
Mm-hmm.
Young women and older men are bondable. Younger men and older women, cougars, are not bondable. They fall in love if they take the time, but you didn't. Please reconsider your contract for sexuality, because it eats up your peace of mind and your comfort.
Sure, I will do that. The other question that I have is that, based on what you're saying, is this man going to contact me again, or I am a little bit sort of confused, because I get what you're saying exactly, and I understand that, you know, sex without any contract resulted in this. And
yes,
and
we can say he left you, right? And he,
mm-hmm.
he has not. When? What? How long ago was your date? Last date.
The last date with him was in March, last March.
Okay. You've done your 8 weeks, and now it's a matter of unpredictable. If he loses or gets rid of the other woman, he may come back to you because you gave him the free sex. So don't be surprised if he shows up again.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently this woman is giving sex too, so because I saw them moving into his building. So, but as you're saying, he may get rid of this woman too. So,
she may get rid of him.
Oh, yeah, true. Very true.
You're considering getting rid of him. I told you to be unfaithful to him and date other men, but don't have sex with him until you're committed to them and building. Are you aiming towards marriage or not? Are you mating or marrying?
Marrying,
All right.
It's very interesting what you're saying, because after May, you're saying in summer, I was disloyal to him and I went and I dated and I was in a good relationship until it fell apart. The guy got deployed and, you know, it got complicated. But I kept telling myself today, why are you jealous, or why are you, you know, feeling like that?
Because
you also
you're bonded, oxytocin bonding, super glue at the short hair site.
Okay.
Super glue at the short hair site. Please be disloyal to your marriage by dating good men that you don't have sex with, intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have intercourse with until you're committed.
I'll promise you, I'll go on a date on Saturday.
Good.
I'll go on a
Excellent.
Date on Saturday.
Because okay.
It's very interesting. I have already 20 men lined up right now, and I'm not joking. I have 20 men lined up, and I'm trying to give them appointments.
Please date all of them and don't have intercourse.
Wait, I promise you,
until you're committed. And then make love. Got
I
it?
Will. Yes, I got it. I will. And I'll
Good
report
girl.
Back to you.
Good girl.
Okay.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you. Bye.
Have a great evening.
Bye.
You
Bye.
Too. Bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, so we have got some more calls lined up. And
Good.
It's pretty exciting. Ronan is getting us one right now. Yeah, so staying married and loving it. I'm not sure that's on one iStore. I'm going to have to check that out and see if it is.
Hello.
If it's
oh,
not.
I don't think so. It doesn't, there's nothing.
All right, Dr. Allen.
It's not in the stores, but you can get
right.
it from Amazon.
Right. Caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hey. Hey, yes. Hey, everybody. Dr. Allen, I'm so glad to talk to you. I
come from a dysfunctional family, and after getting, you know, listening to some of your talks, I read one of your books, I realized I've been the zero, and I don't want to be the zero anymore, and I don't know how to do this. I've been married for 12 years.
I understand that you learned to talk. Do you want me to teach you how to fight with your man?
Yeah, I heard a little bit so far. I would love it. I have something that I could make an appointment for. Oh.
What do you want?
Oh, I said I did. I do have something to prepare. Like, how do I be healthy if I've been the zero?
What you do is, I'll give you the five tools right now. Number one.
Okay.
Don't mother him. In other words, when he tells you something, okay, tell him if you feel good about it or not. Does he cherish your feelings?
Sometimes. There's something that happened earlier today I was going to bring up.
What's that? Go ahead and bring it up.
Because this morning he said, you know, I want you to feel good, you know, and that sounds,
that's
at first it
lovely.
Sounds like cherishing, but
did
it,
you say,
but I,
did you say thank you?
I think
your
I did,
husband,
but then later I thought, you know, I've been the lost one, like I don't know if I can, it almost made me feel like, I can't feel on demand. What if I don't feel good? I don't want to wash that.
Did you not feel good when he said, I want you to feel good? He stroked you. He cherished you. Did you say, thank you? That was very nice of you.
I
women
don't know.
Must
I,
respect I, their man to get the man to cherish them. If you want to be a woman, women get what they want by knowing what they don't want. He said something nice to you. Did you thank him for it?
I don't know.
That means
but I will
no.
next time.
I want you to, everything he does, whether he gets you a cup of coffee, whether he pats you on the face, everything that looks like cherishing, I want you to say, oh, that's so nice. I feel cherished when you do that. I promise you that if he feels respected, he will respond with cherishing. That's the way they're built. But if you're mad at him and you carry the energy of mad, he intuitively, men are so intuitive, he intuitively knows you don't like him because you don't tell him you like what he does when he does something nice. And anything nice is worth it to say to him, that was very nice.
How would I know if I'm a pain addict? Yeah, I will definitely do that. Like, how? No, if I'm zero, how do I stop this?
You're a pain addict, are you reading the book, A Taste for Pain by Maria Marcos?
No, I haven't heard of that one.
That's the one that's about the women that are in absolutely glued to norepinephrine, which is a neurotransmitter that carries your thoughts and energy through your nervous system. Are you easier to cause pain to than to cause you to smile and be happy? Are you a pain addict?
I'm not 100% sure, but I think so.
Would you please concentrate this week on looking and listening to your husband and seeing if there's anything that is cherishing in what he's doing or saying, and tell him thank you.
Okay.
Did your dad cherish your mom?
A little bit.
Were they, did they stay together?
They are still together. It's a pretty dysfunctional family.
It's a pretty what?
Dysfunctional family.
In what way?
There was a lot of neglect. Like, there was not okay to feel. So I've been the man. I've been very masculine.
So I can't what I'm feel hearing very easily. Is your mother didn't get cherished enough?
Well, she was very masculine. She didn't want that. She was the 10 and my dad was the 0.
Okay. So what you're saying is you're like your dad.
Yeah.
Are you willing to notice if your husband is being a nice man, but you have been raised to not like men?
Yeah.
I want you to listen and look at what your dad is doing and in your head think, he's cherishing her. I must pay attention to my husband and say thank you when he cherishes me. Are you willing to do that?
Yeah. I am.
Okay. So, is that what you wanted for today?
That will take me.
What?
Yeah, that will take me. You're saying that will take me out of this place of feeling like a 0.
What it will do is it'll take you into a grateful place that you don't know about because you're busy not wanting him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any kids?
Yeah, we do. 2.
How many?
We have 2. They're 9 and 3. Okay. Or 4. Sorry.
Okay. Is he a good father?
Yes.
But not a good husband. He said he wants you happy. The more you tell him that you like it when he's cherishing you, the more he will cherish you.
Okay.
Give it a go for the week and let us know.
Okay, I will.
Pay attention
Thank
to
you.
Positive. You're welcome. Okay. Okay,
thanks,
Kelly,
bye.
Do we have somebody?
Yeah, I'll talk to you.
Thank you, caller. Yeah, I wasn't sure she was quite done. But yeah, we do have more calls coming, Dr. Allen, and our wonderful Ronan is going to get us one. I want to remind everybody that you got to go and sign up for that newsletter. Hi, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, thank you. Hi, Dr. Pat.
Hello.
I've been a girlfriend for about 4 months now.
Freudian slip.
Yeah, I think sometimes that's funny.
Are you a recovering man?
Yes, I am.
I love that when women say that. Okay.
Yes. And you talked to me about him before. I know there's not a lot of time, so I was curious about a couple things that happened in the very beginning of our relationship. So there was a couple times where just getting to know him, there was a few things that annoyed me about him. And so there was once where we were drinking and I got angry. And then another time, it wasn't because I was drinking, but I still got annoyed and I acted.
You do know that when you take drugs or alcohol, you knock out your feelings, especially the good ones, and you become more masculine.
Right. No, I very much
and
understand
when
that
men
now.
Do it, they knock out their thinking and become more feminine.
Right.
And they need, you see what I mean?
Yes. And so I of course I apologize the next day, but he's very patient. And I guess the one thing that I didn't understand is the one time when I was like, oh, I acted really dumb. The next day he was like, he's always very kind about it. And he's like, oh, he's like, what was that about?
And then he was like, what you're saying is he was cherishing you. You were
yes.
in pain. And he was, did you thank him? Did
I
you
did,
make it worth his while?
I have been getting better and better at just letting him be him and noticing how much he does cherish me. And I appreciate a lot about
I
him.
I love
like,
what you're saying. I
yeah,
love
I,
it because it's I, so good.
Right. And I so I always try to look at the best things he's, and it's really helpful to me. I guess the one thing I didn't understand at that point was that the next day he did ask me all that, and I told him, you know, it was because he was very, in one way I said, yeah, I was because I was drinking and this and that. He's like, well, he's like, soon he's like, I'm not going to want to drink with you. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. And then he was like, you're not going to leave me, are you? Like, but there was a couple times where I acted out, and then he said, are you not going to leave me, are you? And I was like, that doesn't make any sense to me that he
what
thinks
do you
that
mean?
I would...
What do you mean?
Oh,
he
well,
said
and I,
he
yeah.
intuitively knew that you were thinking of him as negative, not positive.
Oh, and yeah, and I had already broken up with him 3 times. I think before that,
look,
or at least 2 times.
Darling,
yeah.
Do you want him in your life, or do you want to get rid of him?
No, I do want him. That happened a couple months ago, and he has since still, like, he'll still even bring that up. He's like, he'll do good things for me, and he's like, oh, he's like, and you left me 3 times. And it hurts my feelings when he says that, but I'm just like, I'm sorry that I hurt you, and I don't want to leave you. Like, I really, you know, love being with you, and I say those things to him when he
You only say those
that.
Things under the influence of booze. Are you an alcoholic?
No, I'm not an alcoholic.
But are
and
you
it,
using
it, oh,
incidents?
No, and I don't say those things. I do my best to bring things up if I feel the need to bring things up. And usually he's very accommodating. Like, I notice I don't have to bring certain things up because he just does them. And then I'm like, oh,
then
it's
do
fine.
You thank him? Do you
I
thank
do.
Him?
I do. Like, even today, like, I stay with, he wants me with him all the time, but he comes over to my house and stays on the weekends. And I tell him, thank you. I'm like, thank you for spending the weekends with me, because he's a big gamer. And I know it's taking out of, like, his time, and he'll even mention it sometimes. And I'm like, well, thank you for wanting to spend so much time with me. And he also asked me to move with him to Seattle, and I said, oh, I'm like, thank you, I'd love to move to Seattle. I go, if we were engaged. And he was like, oh, he's like, well, I'm not thinking of marriage for a while. And I said, okay, well, that's okay. And then that's all
you
I
know
said.
What I love what you just did. I love what you just said. That was beautiful. He asked you to come and be his free wife, and you said thank you, but no thank you.
Right. And then later on, he brought it up. He's like, oh, you don't even want to move with me. And I said, I do. We're engaged. I just said the same thing again.
Good.
To him. Yeah. But
was your mother, did your mother insult your father periodically?
Well, yeah. He was an alcoholic and a druggie, and then she just talked bad about him all the time.
Okay.
Even after he was
so
gone.
What you're talking
yeah.
about is, you're treating your husband as if he's an alcoholic when you're the one that was drinking, saying the mean things.
Right. No, yeah. Yeah.
But he won't be able to stay with you if you disrespect him.
No, I understand. I've And he includes me in a lot of things. And I laugh sometimes because I remember, like, yesterday he wanted to know where I wanted to eat. And I'm like, oh, I'm fine wherever you want. And then he's like, but I'm asking you where. And I'm like, okay. And I told him, and he goes, but we should go over here. And I started laughing.
Haven't I told you when a man asks you what you want, tell him what you want, but don't expect to get it because he'll take it and change it.
Right. And I was okay. Well,
yes.
I guess that I have a hard time sometimes. And I just say, and he'll be like, is that okay? And I'm like, yeah. I go, that sounds so good. I'm like, that's great. Like,
I want you to reward him for being nice to you, because it scares him when you threaten that you don't like him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very sensitive. And he just barely, like, a couple weeks ago told me about his last relationship, which was very traumatic. The girl he was with just left him. Just like, and I was like, oh, so I understand even more how much my actions affected him.
Reminded him.
Yeah.
Good. Then I like what I hear, because I hear you using my work, and hopefully he won't leave out of fear of you.
Yeah, hopefully. Okay.
Okay. Well,
Thank you, Dr. Watch your mouth. Thank you. I will. I'm doing it.
Good. You are. I hear goodness. I do hear it.
Thank you.
Good. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, caller. Okay. Let me check in with Ronan and see what's going on and see if we've got more calls. I think we do. And I'm just going to see what he's got to say here. Oh, newsletter. Going to remind you again. That's how you're going to find out everything that's going on with Dr. Allen and what she's doing. And we do have groups that we do via Zoom. So you might want to check out the newsletter, www.drpatallen.com. Sign up for the newsletter, answer back when we email you. That way we can put you on the mailing list and you'll get our newsletter every month. So Ronan says we do have more calls and he's getting this one right now.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 3, 2, 1.
We love you guys. We want to talk directly to you. We don't want to talk to your voicemail. So we can put, which is a joy for Dr. Allen. She says that work for her is play. Okay. He's going to try another one right now while we're hanging out waiting. One eye store. The over 50 dating relationship. That's one of your number ones, isn't it, Dr. Allen?
Yes.
That's a good seller. That's an excellent seller.
Good.
And
hello.
Hi, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes.
Caller.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can now.
Hello. Yes, I was wondering if you can help me with my communication and my relationship. I'm trying to get a point across to my girlfriend, and the reason I'm calling in is because I think I'm going to dump her.
Okay, so what is it? What is the subject that you want me to help you state?
So I'm wondering if my communication is lacking or it's effective. Basically, my form of communication at this point is ignoring her.
Ignoring her is rejection. There are three major problems that ruin communication. One is evasive. Someday I want to get married. You didn't say anything concrete. You didn't say, I want to consider marrying you and I in next year. And I want to go to a therapist to work on time, space, money, and play boundaries. What you want, what I want, what you don't want, what I don't want, so that we have a plan. So evasive, not giving details. The second biggest problem is mind reading. It's expecting people to know what you need without asking for it. That's what you're telling me. That's mind reading, and it doesn't work. And the third one is abruptness. Get out. I'm leaving. We're done. It's usually two words, but they're painful and they cut the relationship. So, sir, are you into using evasive, secretive, mind reading, and abruptness to communicate your displeasure?
Yes.
Do you want me, do you have a paper and a pencil that you can write down notes of what I'm about to say to you?
Yes. Well, okay, this is being recorded, right? I can listen to the recording.
Oh, yeah. All you have to do is listen to the pod. That's true. Number one, do you want to be Do you want to be respected more or less than cherishing from her?
I don't know.
Which do you want?
Respected. Respected.
Okay. Then please don't ask her what she thinks, what she wants, her opinion, her suggestions, her ideas. Tell her yours. I think it'd be good if once a week you put down what you thought and felt about our relationship, and I did it, and we talked about it. So the secret is that you've got to bring out what's going on with words. Beware of your thoughts, they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny. At the bank making money, the doctor's office being healthy, and in every relationship in which love exists, mom, dad, sons, daughters. So I help you speak words. And in this particular case, the first of five tools is always ask her what she feels about your thoughts, your wants. Don't ask her what she wants unless it's her birthday present. Ask her, tell her what you want. Open your mouth and either write it down in a note or speak it. But you be the man and ask her to be the woman and share her comfort or discomfort. And then say to her, what can I do to help you and I feel better? That's what you say to women that you cherish. The second tool, if you have something painful, critical to say to her, make an appointment. Honey, I have something painful to say to you. When would it be comfortable for you to listen to me? Hopefully today. Do you hear that? Don't just pout.
Yeah.
Open up a conversation. The third tool is she's done something that's irritated you. Don't bounce on that negative. Say you had a right to say that, think that, feel that, do that. You had a right to that. But I don't want it because it doesn't respectful. So I want you, darling, to tell me what you feel about what I say or what I do, and ask me what you can do to help you and I do better. Do better. That's the third tool. The fourth tool, 90% of all communication is nonverbal. It's body language. That's what you're doing. Tones of voice, gestures, postures, facial expressions. So if you're doing that, that means that you're not saying, honey, I sense by your quietness that you're upset about something. Am I right? Yes. When would it be comfortable for you to talk to me about it? Hopefully today. That's the fourth tool. The fifth tool is like the second tool, except it's a sign language. Have you ever been to a basketball game, sir?
Yeah, I've been to several.
Have you ever seen the timeout sign that the referee does?
Yes. Puts the timeout like his hands, like a T.
Yeah. If you feel uncomfortable about something she did or didn't do, give her a timeout signal. And she says, what are you doing? I'm signaling you that I'm uncomfortable about something you said or something you did. I felt disrespected. Are you willing to tell me what I did that you punished? Those are the five tools that I use or teach people to waltz when they're upset. You see? So give us an example of you being upset with her, and we'll show you how to do it. What has she done that has caused you to quietly shut your mouth and not tell her about it?
Well, I told her in advance that I was going to see her today. I told her 2 days in advance. I texted her this morning, 9 a.m. or whatever time that I would be there. I would be ready at a certain time.
Did you speak to her, or did you leave a message?
I spoke to her, but it was text and message, but she was responding.
Okay. What did she do? Did she not show up?
I spoke to her. Yeah, she didn't show up. She didn't show up, and then she called me 2 hours later, or almost 2 hours later, and said, and she called me 50 times, or sorry, she texted me 50 times and called me 10 times in 15 minutes, saying that she was available to see me. And I was just angry that she did that to me, and I find it disrespectful, very disrespectful.
And so did you say to her, you had every right to disrespect me, but I want you to know I may not leave you this time, but I know I can't stand this and will not stay with you if you do it again.
No, I never said that.
What?
Okay, so I had never said that before, because this is like the second or third time she thought she...
I know that, but I want you to know that you're not standing up for yourself. For what reason are you acting like a zero? Was your dad a zero?
I don't know.
Was your mom?
No.
Was your mom a man?
My mom was, yes, my mom was.
Okay, so you are very attracted to respectable, bright women who don't cherish you.
Yes.
Is that right? They break agreements.
Yes.
When people, the only way you know you love yourself or anybody is the commitments you're willing to make and keep. You made the agreements, but she was testing you for wussiness. And did you say anything like, I can't put up with this if you do it?
No, I just ignored her.
But ignoring her is not telling her the boundaries. You gave her a free right to abuse you. Will you not do that, please? Tell her you have a right to not keep your agreements, but I felt disrespected, and I cannot stay with you if you continue to do this. In fact, I'm going to say, if you don't let me know when you can't keep an agreement and you break it, we're done. You willing to consider that? Sir? Where did you go?
Yes, exactly. I'm here. I was on mute.
You know what you did? You did it to me.
I'm sorry. I put you on. I was on mute. I was typing in what you were saying.
Okay. But do you see, I made her right. She had a right to do that. But you felt disrespected, and you cannot put up with that.
Yep.
Are you willing?
And if she doesn't accept it.
Is you what?
Am I willing to do what?
Are you willing to cross her when she disrespects you in a cherishing way like I just showed you?
Yes. I copied the last thing that you told me, which was making her right, but I feel disrespected. And I cannot accept it. And, you know, if it happens again, we're done. If not, we're done now. But I've got the other four parts. I have to go back and think about what to say. Maybe I could just say it all in this one sentence, you know. You have every right
to
break our commitment.
Maybe you can write it down and read it to her or give her the letter.
Okay.
Please be a five.
That's what I'm gonna do.
And she's a five.
What?
Don't be a zero. Don't be a zero to her 10.
Okay.
Be a five and take care of yourself and warn her that she's going to lose you if she doesn't take care of herself.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, caller. He had a familiar voice. I believe he's called in with us before. All right.
Okay.
Talking to our switchboard, making sure what's going on, seeing what's going on. Here we go. Let's see what he has to say here to me. Mm-hmm. All right, he is going to check back on some of the calls that we had lined up that went to voicemail and see if he can raise any of those people. The number to dial is 323-203-0815. We were talking about midlife crises, and it is interesting because I have two questions, one from a man and one from a woman, and they're both about the midlife crisis. So the first one I'm going to ask is the woman's question. She says she recognized when her father had a midlife crisis. He was 56 years old. He bought Porsche Turbo Carrera, began drinking, and was never home for dinner again with the family. This resulted in a divorce about 18 months later from the mother. Ironically, she says that after her father turned 62 years old, he came back to the mother and wanted to remarry. She feels right now that she is in the same sort of midlife crisis, but she always wanted to avoid what her father did. However, she feels that she is having the impulse to want to do some slightly dangerous or outrageous things. And she would like to know how can she combat this midlife crisis that she feels is coming onto herself?
She can look at the cost of it and decide if she can afford the cost. You can do anything you want as long as you're willing to pay for it. And I don't mean just money.
Oh, yeah.
Some family, the divorce.
Yes.
The best thing to do is, if you're in a bad place, is to find a therapist who can help you communicate.
Whether exactly.
It's me or somebody like me.
Precisely. Now, my grandmother used to say that, Dr. Allen, when I was young, I didn't understand what she really meant, because, you know, when you're 17 years old, what do you know? And I would say to her this and that. She'd say, you know, the only way, she'd say, listen, the only difference is when you're looking at your toys is the size and the price, if you're willing to pay. I didn't really understand what she meant at 17. At 56, I got it. I figured that out. And here's another interesting one. It's from a gentleman. He says,
but I want to tell something to that person. A high buy letter. I'm going to give you the formula.
Okay.
Write a 5-paragraph letter to your partner. Paragraph 1, everything you like about them. Paragraph 2, the pain of their causing you, or your the pain of the situation. Paragraph 2. Mm-hmm. Paragraph 3, if you're a woman, put down what you not want. If you're a man, put down what you want for paragraph 3.
Mm-hmm,
paragraph 4, if you're a woman, put down what you want, because you've already written what you don't want. Women get what they want by knowing what they don't want first. I don't want to be married to a husband that drinks or does whatever. So, and then the 4th paragraph is the opposite. The woman writes down what she does want. I want a husband that cares, whatever. And then the 5th paragraph is, thank you for reading this letter, and hopefully we can work together and communicate and negotiate a deal. And that's chapter 14 in Getting to I Do. And it's about negotiating whatever is causing a trouble with saying what you want and what you don't want. That's the man. And the woman says what she doesn't want and what she wants. That's androgynous semantic realignment. Okay, what is the next one?
Okay, the next one is actually a man. He's 62 years old. He knows he's in midlife crisis. He also is having those impulses and urges. He says he thinks that the COVID pandemic has actually spurred this on. He was pretty satisfied. He says, I was pretty satisfied in my life. I realized I was getting older. I was coming to my golden years, and I was okay with that. But this pandemic has done something to me. It's made me have the impulse to live recklessly, because at this point in time, with everything that's been going on, I don't feel like I've been living at all. It's kind of like sitting in a stall mode. And so, well, I feel like I want to live. And the only way to live is just to sow my wild oats. But Dr. Allen, I have had multiple people say that kind of a thing to me.
Social suicide is doing destructive things that will cost you your lifestyle. And that's doing the things that will keep you alive in the medical sense, And if you're depressed with the relationship, sitting down and negotiating time, space, money, and play. Time is I time. How much time do you need by yourself or going with friends? Mm-hmm. We is how many couple nights do you need, once a week or more? And us is what you do as a family or as a neighborhood or as whatever, so that you can spend time. I want you to understand the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is taking time, linemen, setting your linemen, which is 3 to 4 minutes between going to sleep and waking up, and putting down 3 things of pleasure tomorrow you intend to experience, and 3 productive things you tend to achieve so that you do better in life. So setting your linemen, and there's a book called Subliminal by Mladenow, which is based on the word linemen, subliminal. Anyway, do that, because when you do that, you're setting up a subconscious goal that your intuition or your instincts, men follow their intuition, women follow their instincts, women have to feel good. That's that you plan how you can make your life better tomorrow. And if you put enough tomorrows together, you end up with a good life. So time, space, money, and play, and that's chapter 14 in Getting to I Do.
Now I have a quirky question for you, Dr. Allen.
What's that?
And this one's from me. Have you ever had an experience where somebody wrote themselves a high bye letter? If they felt like they were going into a change, saying hello to this person that you are and goodbye to a person you've had been, like, for example, when you go into either menopause or andropause, because there's a dramatic change at that point in time. You've seen that. Oh, no.
I'm going to give you even a better direction. Go get the book called The I Ching, or Book of Changes,
uh-huh.
And it's by Brian Brown Walker, about the 64 hexagrams that you can get in a draw a card daily, which will tell you things to do to live a better life. So I Ching is the Eastern reality of the 12-step program or the commandments or whatever you want. But it's directed towards changing. So a guide to life's turning points. Okay?
Oh, yeah, very definitely. I just was curious about that because I think at a certain point in time in my life, after the end of a very long-term relationship and going into menopause and things like that, when I was figuring myself out, who I had become and how I had changed, and I was reticent to let go of certain things, I wrote myself, I would think, something along the lines of a high-bye letter. It was very cathartic. And then, of course, I had the wonderful experience of doing my life script with you. And, you know, it kind of brings this clarity, this...
Understand.
You know, you're like, you have to let go of certain things, even though it's painful. And I think it's interesting because I just had a conversation with somebody regarding what you were saying about pain, and they were feeling very guilty about something that they needed to do. as far as, you know, ejecting somebody from their household. And they were like, I don't want to hurt this person, blah, blah, blah. And then I just said, well, you know, here's what I'm going to tell you. I said I could turn it into a meme with Dr. Allen's face that says the people who don't inflict pain on others are going to end up inflicting pain on themselves. They're going to end up and they're going to end up on Dr. Allen's couch. You know, that's going to be financial pain. So, you know, you got to make up your mind on you know, what you're going to do with respect to that. And another thing too, is that the concept of selfishness that I get a lot like, well, that's very selfish. No, you talk about the difference between self-centered, self-love.
Women,
so they're listening right now. They're listening right now, and I would love for you to talk about the difference between selfishness and self-centered.
Absolutely. Selfishness is when you want somebody to be your zero. Self-centered is when you want to be a five with a five that wants to be with you. In other words, equitable. Self-centered is very appropriate. You must be an I before you can be a we, before you can be an us. And the characteristics are time, I time, we time, us time, space. What are the chores? What are the responsibilities for this lifestyle you're setting up? Then money. Are we going to put in money dollar for dollar? Or are we going to put in a system where whoever makes more puts in more? Negotiating money. And last but not least, play. Non-sexual play, which could be called hobbies, activities, and sexual play. Are we an open relationship or a monogamous relationship? So these are the things. My book, Getting to I Do, is all about going from an I to a we to an us. And my book, A Man's World and a Woman's Universe, is the same goal. It has a chapter on I-ness, we-ness, and us-ness.
Well, and it's an excellent book, and I highly recommend it. So we have another question from our Facebook people. And the question is this. Dr. Allen, your books and your teachings have meant so much to me. And I want to understand something. When I try to use your tools to speak to my mate, he becomes angry and sullen. And I don't understand why that happens.
Because he wants you to be a zero and he wants to be a 10. It's called narcissism. If you're with a narcissist, you're a zero. So use my tools, but take action as well. Maybe sleep in the other room. Do something which causes him to be afraid of losing you.
And that's very interesting, because you told that one gal, go sleep on the floor.
Exactly,
that seemed to have
right.
Profound. Yeah, that she called back in, and it seemed to have a profound effect with respect to his reactions. Because you can't, you know, I mean, you can't force a thing like that on another person, but what you can do is you can take an action that's going to be followed by a reaction from them.
Which will either push you out of the house, or he will join you in the home on an equitable level.
Right. Right. So we have another one. She says, this probably sounds like a silly small problem. My husband has taken up a hobby which has now overcome and overrun our entire home. His hobby is plants and making, growing plants, grafting plants, all this thing with plants. Every flat surface in the house is covered with these damn plants. I can't even set a teacup down before there's a damn plant. It's driving me crazy, and I don't know what to do about it.
It depends on if he's 51% valuable. Everybody's got a screw loose in some area. Everybody. Literally nobody's perfect and worth marrying. But if they're 51% valuable on those days, you say, you know what? I don't like what he's doing, but I really like the way he makes up, or the way he cooks Sunday dinner, or something. So if he's worth it, you keep him. You don't have to call the police for plants unless they're marijuana. But no, they're not into that now.
Right, exactly.
Okay. So you don't have to go to the doctor unless...
Can you lay out the concept for her on how to set up your chart? You know, you always say, do it for this many days with the plus and the minus. Can you explain that?
Well, it's a matter of accepting, rejecting, but don't tolerate. So every day on a calendar or a piece of paper or a notebook, say plus, if you can do the relationship another day, minus as one of the relationships that you do not want to stay. And at the end of a month, look at the vote. Hopefully you folded the vote away so you can't see how many times until the end of the month. Then you'll do something like, honey, if this doesn't stop, I have to leave. You see? So every day at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't she?
At the end of the day, Mark. What?
Couldn't she negotiate with him? Like, find some sort of a happy medium? Like, I love your plants and I love that you have this hobby. And you really have a green thumb,
well,
but can we keep plants out of the kitchen?
I've already taught that you've got to use the tools to fight. So I presumed that she has said, I want to talk to you about your plant growing. Is it convenient now for you to, you know, hear what I have to say? You have every right to grow all these plants, except that I'm not comfortable with nowhere to put my teacup or sit or whatever. Do you see?
And so, well, I love it when you
are you willing
reinforce that, though. I love when you reinforce it, because sometimes I think when they get to a point where they're so irritated or agitated by something, they kind of forget those tools. They kind of forget, okay, I'm going to use this tool. And I'm hoping for this result, but if I don't get this result, I'm moving to the next tool.
That's
right. I think sometimes they forget that. I think they forget that you have five tools, and you've got five tools for a reason.
That's,
you know,
right.
They're not random.
And as you can negotiate,
they're not random tools.
There's only three ways to communicate: intimidate with fear, seduce with guilt and shame, or negotiate with love. That's, there isn't anything else. whether it's a government, whether it's the neighborhood. You've got to learn to negotiate with love. And love, interestingly, people come and they say, we love each other. I say, yeah, but do you like each other? Love is accepting people for who they are. That's the 51%. I love him. But there's many days when I don't like him.
Yes.
Liking is what you've got to negotiate.
Yes. So can you give us an example, Dr. Allen, of communicate how an intimidator communicates?
Look here. If you don't get rid of those plants, I'm going to throw them all out. That's intimidation.
Yeah.
Seduction is, I have an allergy, and it's really triggering my allergy to have those plants all over the house. That's guilt and shame.
Yep.
Love is, I really appreciate that you really like your plants. I am going to make a request that our bedroom is plant-free. What do you think about that? The bedroom plant free.
That's See, I love that. I love that. And it's funny too, because one of my favorite books that you've ever written is Conversational Rape.
It's Conversational Rape.
Yeah, it is. It's one of my favorite. It's the first book I ever read that you wrote. And I remember the first reading of it, and I've read it probably 25 times since then. It's one of my go-tos in my library, that and The Games People Play by Eric Byrne. So when I read Conversational Rape, I was so overcome with just how shocking it was to be able to then identify and look at how people had spoken to me and how I had spoken to people. It was amazing. So it really reinforces your tools when you're talking to somebody.
It is
you're like
tool.
This that's
my doctoral dissertation was the beginning of the tools.
But it's amazing to me. I feel like everybody's got to read that one, because it really, all of a sudden, when you're communicating with somebody, you'll hear this little bell in your head going, oh, they're an intimidator. Oh, they're
right.
Filling with guilt and shame. And it's such a reinforcer.
Or,
it was a reinforcer.
He was willing to negotiate. He wanted me to be happy.
Yeah.
Somebody said that today.
Actually, yeah, somebody said it today to me too. It was pretty amazing. But I don't know. I want to recommend it. I want everyone to read it. It's such a reinforcer for your tools. Two gentlemen that are calling in, and that's super fun. I hope some more gentlemen will be encouraged to call in, but we are out of time.
Good.
Doc, what do you got to say before we run?
Did you want me to say something?
I do, before we leave.
Okay. The way out of any negative feeling is a positive decision. What do I want that I don't have? What do I have that I don't want? Followed by action as soon as possible.
Truth told. We love you, everyone. We're going to be back here with you next week. We hope you'll call in and be with us or just listen. Until then, please be safe. We love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication.